The secret life of the hive. There is a moment that happens to almost every new beekeeper, and it happened to me on a warm April morning, 3 years into keeping hives. I lifted a frame, held it up to the light the way you do, and watched maybe 2,000 bees moving across the comb in what looked, at first glance, like chaos. And then something shifted in how I was seeing it. It wasn't chaos at all. Every single bee had somewhere to be. Every one of them was doing something deliberate. The secret life of the hive was playing out right there in my hands, and I realized I had been standing next to it for 3 years without truly seeing it. That is the thing about honeybees that nobody prepares you for. The longer you watch them, the less you feel like you understand them. Not because they're unknowable, but because the more science reveals about what they do and how they do it, the stranger and more extraordinary the picture becomes. Let's start with what they actually do for us, because most people have a vague sense of it without knowing the full weight of it. One out of every three bites of food you eat exists because a bee pollinated something. That's not a poetic exaggeration. That's a number backed by agricultural research from the USDA. Almonds are the clearest example. The entire commercial almond crop in the United States, grown almost entirely in California's Central Valley, depends 100% on managed honeybee pollination. There are no almonds without bees, period. Apples, blueberries, cucumbers, melons, squash, avocados, the list of crops that depend heavily on bee pollination covers a significant portion of everything in your grocery store that has color and flavor and nutritional value. The crops that don't need pollinators tend to be grains, wheat, corn, rice, the staples that keep calories in the world but don't give us the variety and nutrition we actually thrive on. Beyond the garden and the grocery store, honeybees contribute to the health of wild ecosystems in ways that ripple outward far beyond their direct activity. When bees pollinate wildflowers, they support the seed production that feeds birds and small mammals, which in turn feed larger animals, and so on through the chain. A landscape with healthy bee populations is a landscape with more biodiversity, more resilience, more interconnection. When bee populations decline in an area, the effects don't stay contained to the hive, they spread. And that brings us to the part that should make all of us pay attention. Because right now, in the spring of 2026, we are watching something alarming unfold. Managed honeybee colonies in the United States have been facing annual losses that would have seemed catastrophic just a generation ago. In 2025, surveys indicated that American beekeepers were potentially facing colony losses approaching 70%. 70. That number is not a typo, and it is not normal. For context, beekeepers historically considered a 15% annual loss, difficult but manageable. The scale of what is happening now is genuinely unprecedented, and the honest answer from researchers is that it's not caused by one single thing. It is a collision of stressors happening simultaneously. Parasitic mites, pesticide exposure, habitat loss, pathogen pressure, climate disruption affecting the timing of bloom cycles that bees depend on. The smell of the hives changes in a troubled apiary. That warm, dense sweetness, wax and propolis, and curing honey gets muted somehow. Thinner. If you've spent enough time around healthy hives and you walk into a struggling one, something in the air tells you before you ever lift a frame. Beekeepers who have managed hundreds of hives talk about this, that physical intuition that develops over seasons of paying attention. Now here is where the science becomes genuinely humbling. We have known about the waggle dance since Carl von Frisch described it in detail in the mid-20th century, work that eventually earned him a Nobel Prize. When a forager bee finds a good food source and returns to the hive, she performs a figure-eight movement on the comb face, the straight portion of the run angled relative to vertical, which corresponds to the direction of the food source relative to the sun. The duration of the waggle run corresponds to distance. The vigor of the dance communicates quality. It is a symbolic language encoded in movement, one of the only examples outside of humans of an animal communicating the location of something it has seen to others who haven't seen it. That is extraordinary on its face. But here is what we only confirmed in 2023. In research published by UC San Diego, honeybees are not born knowing how to perform the waggle dance correctly. They learn it socially, from older, more experienced dancers. Young bees that are isolated from experienced dancers before they start foraging produce less accurate dances. The distance and direction encoding is imprecise. Bees raised with experienced dancers produce accurate dances. They are taught. That finding upended decades of assumption that the waggle dance was purely instinctive, and it opened a question that researchers are still sitting with. How much of what bees do is learned rather than hardwired? The hive communicates in chemistry too, in ways we are still mapping. There are known pheromones for alarm, for queen presence, for marking nectar sources, for signaling that a cell is ready for use, for recruiting nestmates to swarm. The queen produces a blend of compounds called queen mandibular pheromone that flows through the colony via physical contact, B2B, as workers touch and groom her, and that chemical signal is what stabilizes the entire social structure. It suppresses the reproductive instincts of the workers. It keeps the colony functioning as a unified organism rather than 40,000 individuals competing for resources. When the queen's signal weakens because she's aging or failing or has died, the hive detects the change within hours and begins raising a replacement. We know this happens. We are still learning exactly how the bees sense it and what triggers the precise cellular response. There is a behavior called thermoregulation that healthy colonies perform with what can only be described as precision engineering. Honeybees maintain the brood nest of a hive at almost exactly 95 degrees Fahrenheit, regardless of the outside temperature, by fanning their wings to cool the hive or clustering their bodies to generate heat. The tolerance for error in that temperature management is narrow. Bee larvae that develop at significantly higher or lower temperatures show developmental problems, and the colony achieves this without a central controller, without anything directing the overall process. Individual bees respond to local temperature conditions in their immediate vicinity, and the collective behavior of thousands of individuals making those small local adjustments produces a stable whole hive temperature. It is a distributed intelligence problem solved by evolution over millions of years, and computer scientists have literally modeled bee thermoregulation when studying algorithms for distributed computing. That particular piece of knowledge always stops me when I think about it too hard. The bees don't know they're maintaining 95 degrees. They don't have a concept of the whole hive or a thermostat reading or a goal in the abstract sense. Each one is just responding to what it feels in the cells directly around it. And yet the outcome is precise, stable, and resilient. The colony thinks, in a real sense, without any individual bee doing the thinking. What we don't know is, in some ways, more interesting than what we do. We don't fully understand how a swarm makes a collective decision about where to relocate. Scout bees return from potential nesting sites and perform waggle dances whose intensity and duration reflect the quality of what they found. Other scouts investigate the sites being advertised, return, and either dance for the same site or don't. Gradually, through a process that takes hours or sometimes days, consensus builds toward one site and the swarm lifts. No single bee knows the full picture. No bee has seen all the candidate sites, and yet the colony almost always chooses correctly, selecting the site that best meets its needs for space, insulation, and protection. The mechanism by which competing dance advocates shift toward consensus is still being studied. Some researchers have described it as resembling a brain, making a decision through competing neural signals, a swarm thinking like a mind. We don't know the full extent of what deformed wing virus does to bee cognition beyond its visible physical effects. We know it causes the wing deformities that ground bees and remove them from the foraging workforce. We know high viral loads are associated with colony collapse. But the extent to which infected bees with visible wings are still cognitively impaired, less accurate navigators, less efficient foragers, less effective dancers, is an active area of research, and the early findings suggest the impact goes deeper than what we can see. We also don't know, with certainty, what is causing the full picture of modern colony collapse. The best current scientific consensus is that it is multifactorial. Varroa mites acting as both parasites and viral vectors, compounding with pesticide exposure, compounding with nutritional deficiency in landscapes where monoculture farming has stripped away the diverse forage that bees evolved with. But the interaction effects between those stressors, the question of what combination tips a colony from stress to failing, is something researchers are still working to model with accuracy. Here is what I want you to carry away from this, practically and simply. The bees in any hive near you, whether yours or a neighbor's or a feral colony in a tree hollow down the road, are doing something ancient and astonishing. They are building a living structure that thinks, communicates, self-regulates, and adapts. They are pollinating the food you eat and the wild flowers that seed the fields that feed everything else in the chain above them. They have been doing this, in essentially the same form, for tens of millions of years. There are fossilized bees in amber that look nearly identical to the bees flying today. And right now, they need us to pay attention in a way we haven't always managed to. Early in the morning, when the temperature is still low and the dew is on everything, go stand near wherever bees are foraging in your yard. Just watch for a few minutes. Watch a forager work a flower, the methodical way she moves through the bloom, the pollen packing into the corbiculi on her hind legs, the way she lifts off with what she's gathered and orients herself before she flies, that bee knows where she is going. She will navigate up to 5 miles and come home to the exact hive entrance, to the exact comb section, and report back to her colony in a language of movement what she found and how to get there. That image, that single bee lifting off a flower in the early light and knowing exactly where she belongs, is the one I want to leave you with. Tell me in the comments, have you ever watched bees up close and noticed something that surprised you? And if you've never kept bees but have thought about it, what's holding you back? I read everything you send me, and your questions might just become the next episode.